G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for joining us once again. It is time for Hebrew Roots on Truth to You. I'm Jono, and joining me is Jason Spiritual Babies. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Hello, Jono. How are you today?
Do you like that for an intro?
That's a brilliant intro. Time to go again.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you know, you brought it up. I thought it was going quite well, but you're the professional.
We're very professional here at Truth to You. Hey, listen, we got some, we got comments on the last one. What was the last one about? That was about Hebrews
in regards... All the bull.
All the bull. Fruit of our lips. Or bulls of our lips. That was the last one. And we got the cultured Karaite. She left a comment saying, great study. Keep up the great work, guys. The visuals, that's you, my friend, the visuals with your word studies are brilliant. And Linda, g'day, Linda. Ta-da to both of you for your clarification. Fun. It is fun, isn't it?
It is.
I'm having fun.
That's the
Josie, yeah, Josie said, this was just awesome. Thank you so much for this study. The video was so helpful. There you go.
Thanks, Josie.
Keep up the good work, guys. And g'day to Rocky. Rocky put a couple of comments there. Sombra is his name. Thank you, Jono and Jason. I have listened to the Melchizedek message twice and then watched the slideshow last night with Hubby. G'day, Hubby. And she said, I'm fascinated. Loving Truth to You messages here in a place that I can't pronounce in Canada.
Oh, Saskatchewan.
Oh, well done. All right. Well done, you Mr. Smutty Pants. And David said, I am glad that I found this website. You're such a great blessing to me. Thank you, everybody, for the comments. That's great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And we're still in the book of Hebrews, of course. Where are we in the book of Hebrews, my friend?
We are at Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to have another look.
Melchizedek. Yeah. Once again. Okay.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of airtime, considering he's mentioned a few times.
Oh, that's true. He's getting a lot of airtime. So we're going to see what it says in the book of Hebrews. We're back in chapter 7. And then we're going to see what it says in the Septuagint, because Hebrews quotes the Tanakh from the Greek translation that is the Septuagint. See what it actually says. And then we're going to see what it says in the original Hebrew, and, you know, we're going to speculate on, we're going to, you know, have a look at what it's actually saying in the context of the passage, my friends. So give it to us, spiritual babies, Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go from 1 to 12, shall we?
Yeah, why not? Okay, so chapter 7 starts, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham and blessed him as he returned from defeating the kings, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness, and also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, mother, or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, remains a priest forever. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the plunder. The sons of Levi, who receive the priestly office, have a commandment according to the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brothers, though they also descended from Abraham. But one without this lineage collected tithes from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. Without a doubt, the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, men...
Hang on a second.
Will,
yeah. Hang on. Is that what it... Which... Hang on. No, you're reading from the what?
The Holman Christian Standard Bible.
The Holman Christian Standard Bible, and it refers to... Now, let me get this right. We're not going to talk about this, but I just want to make sure we got this right. What it says in the Holman, in reference to the priesthood of Aaron, in verse 7, now, I've got beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better.
Right.
And this one here says, the Holman says the inferior is blessed by what?
It's blessed by the superior.
So it's saying that Aaron's... The priesthood of Aaron is inferior, right? That's what it's saying. Aaron is inferior. Okay, just making it clear. Okay, keep going.
In the one case, men who will die receive tithes, but in the other case, Scripture testifies that he lives. And in a sense, Levi himself, who received tithes, has paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still within his father when Melchizedek met him. Mm-hmm. If then perfection came through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need is there for another priest to arise in the order of Melchizedek and not to be described as being in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there must be a change in the law as well.
And that's where we picked up on the first one that we did, Spiritual Babies, and that was the whether or not there was a support for a Melchizedek priesthood in the Hebrew text, and people can find that one on Truth to You. Now, the reason why we're reading this one out is because we're focusing in on a particular, well, let's get to it, shall we? I mean, I guess what happened was I was reading the Brentons. Do you know what the Brentons is?
I've no idea. Tell me.
I'll tell you what it is. You ready?
I've got my pen ready.
Now, you'll get a kick out of this. This is pretty cool. So the Brentons, this guy, his name, believe it or not, his name was Sir Lancelot.
Cool.
You don't get that very often.
No.
His name was Sir Lancelot Charles Lee Brenton.
What a name.
No, that's just so cool. If I was walking, I would, you know, you'd love to introduce yourself to people. Hello,
I'm... He'd have a really long credit card, wouldn't he? I mean, it would
I'm Sir Lancelot Charles Lee Brenton at your service.
You'd I only work nights.
You'd okay. have a big long coat and you'd have one of those eyeglasses. He was around in the 1800s, right? I think it was 1844 that he published his English translation of the Septuagint, right?
Okay.
And so that's the Brentons. Now, here we are in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, of course, is referring to Genesis chapter 14. We're going to go over there now. And it's making the assertion, or perhaps an assumption, that that it was Abraham who gave Melchizedek a tithe, a 10%. And the thing that got me, the thing, Spiritual Babies, that got me thinking about this, that really got me excited about this, was when I was reading through the Brentons, just looking at something else, and I noticed that it said something that got me all excited. I thought, wow, I didn't know that that was in the Septuagint. This is what it says in the Brentons. And I'm talking about Genesis. Well, maybe I should, you know what, before I read the Brentons, maybe we should just give a little bit of background for people who aren't so familiar with the story. There was a bunch of kings that I can't pronounce. Can you pronounce any of those guys?
Not live, no.
Let's not do that.
I need a running start.
I'm going to say that there was a bunch of kings that that are really hard to pronounce. You can read it in Bereshit, Genesis 14. And what happens, it says, and I'm going to pick up from verse 11, says, and then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. And they also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. They just went and raided a few places and thought, we'll have this and we'll have this, and that guy over there, we'll have him and his stuff as well. Let's bring him along. And then, one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, it says, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Good on him. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 servants. How is that? He's got a little army going on. 318 servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. So these guys made it pretty far north, right?
Right.
They traveled some distance. And but he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Horebah, which is north of Damascus. They were in Damascus.
They went a long way for what they had.
They went a long way. They did pretty well. And but he caught up with them, and he attacked them, and he was victorious. And verse 16, it says, so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Okay.
So at this point, it's Abraham who's done all the fighting and has rescued all the people and brought back all the stuff.
He's done pretty well. He's a hero.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
He's the man at the moment. There's no doubt about it. And he's come back with all the stuff with it that, as it says in 11, that they took all the provisions of Sodom and Gomorrah and went on their way. They also took Lot and all of his stuff and departed. And evidently, they also had all the people with them as well. Verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And after his return from the defeat of the guy I can't pronounce and the kings who were with him, and then Melchizedek, enter Melchizedek, and limelight, center stage, king of Salem, brought out, hey, he's a popular guy, brings out bread and wine, lechem and wine. So it could be food, really. I mean, it could be food and wine. And he thought, and the way I kind of see it is like, hey, this is a great thing. Abraham, he's defeated these people. He's the man of the moment. He's the hero. He's brought everything back. Let's celebrate. Let's have a feast. And his Melchizedek is kind of hosting this because they're meeting the King's Valley is not that far from Salem or Jerusalem. And he blessed him. And these are the famous words. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. And then it goes on to talk about conversation between Abram and the king of Sodom. Now, that's what it says in the New King James. But what really got me a little bit excited was when I was reading in the Brentons, as I said, is the Sir Lancelot's English translation of the Septuagint. And what he says in verse 20 is, "And Abraham gave him the tithe of all." That's the end of verse 20 of chapter 14 in Genesis.
Right.
I don't have that in the New King James. I've got he gave him a tithe of all. Now, I remembered then in Torah Pearls, and it must have been obviously Genesis 14 when we were doing Torah Pearls, Nehemiah Gordon pointed out that in the way that it flows here, it is Melchizedek. It reads as if Melchizedek gave Abram a tithe of all.
Right. I had a look at this morning, actually, in the Hebrew, and it's exactly what happens. It doesn't mention any names in that particular line, and it literally says, "And him gave tenth everything."
I read it again, and so it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he, Melchizedek, was priest of El Elyon, and he, Melchizedek, blessed him and said," and then he says all these things, "and he," and I would have thought Melchizedek, right, "gave him a tithe of all," but not in the Brentons. And so Brenton says, "Abraham gave him a tithe of all." And I thought, I wonder if the Septuagint has Abraham, Abram, or if it has he. And do you know what the Septuagint has?
Tell me.
It's got he! The Septuagint is right! There's nothing Ray. Wrong with the Septuagint in this place. It's got it right. It's got he there. What's that about?
If I had fireworks now, I'd be setting them off for the Septuagint.
How about that? So the Septuagint is it's translated correctly according to what the Hebrew says, and the Hebrew has he, and the Septuagint has he. So where does Brenton, Sir Lancelot, get off putting Abraham there?
Can only assume that he's maybe adding a little bit because of Hebrew 7.
Clearly he has added to the text by putting Abram there. Now, this is not to say, spiritual babies, that Abram didn't give Melchizedek a tithe. We're going to get to that. It's not to say that he didn't do that, but clearly he has added to the text by putting Abram's name there. And I would say it's probably fair to come to the conclusion that he did that because that's what the book of Hebrews told him to do. And so here's the interesting thing. Now, translations. There's a few different translations. What do you got in regards to 14:20 and a few different translations?
Well, the Holman one I read from, obviously it says, "And Avram gave him a tenth of everything." Mm-hmm. The New American Standard Bible, "He gave a tenth of all." And even one version of the King James I've got here says, "He gave him a tithe of all." It'd be interesting to know what people have at home. So if you're listening along with your Bible, be sure to comment underneath which version you have and what it says in yours, because we'd love to hear your feedback.
I'd like to know, because I'm just looking at a few now. The English Standard Version has "Abraham gave him a tenth of everything." Even, let's see, the Geneva, let's go back in time, that says "Abraham gave him a tithe of all." The King James 1611 says, "And he," with a double E, actually, in the 1611, how about that? "Gore him tithes of all." Gore.
Gore, nice. Gore,
well, that's what it says, but I assume it's, I don't know how they, anyway, that's the 1611, but it's got he. And so anyway, some insert Abram and some don't, but in both the Septuagint and the Hebrew, it has he. And the interesting thing about it, as I mentioned, is that all the he's prior to that are in regard to Melchizedek. Why is this one in particular attributed to Abram? Could it be because that's what Hebrews did? We don't really know, and we can't speculate on that. But can I offer you a scenario, Mr.
Sure.
Spiritual? Please? All right, this is my little scenario, because I've been thinking about this, trying to solve this, because this is a little bit of a puzzle. It's somewhat mysterious. I'm thinking this through in my head, and even in Hebrews chapter 7, In verse 4, it says, now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. So he's got the spoils. But whose spoils are they? Because they're not his. They're not Abraham's. They belong to the people of Sodom, the people of Gomorrah, and they belong to his brother Lot. That's what his nephew. That's how much we know.
Right, because we read in 11 that the invaders seized all the wealth from Sodom and Gomorrah and took all their provisions and went on their way. So we know who it came from.
We know who it came from, and yeah. And the way that we figure it, the way that I'm thinking about this, imagine someone beats me up, right?
Right.
Somebody beats me up, and they steal my wallet, and I yell out, you know, that man stole my wallet, and you, Mr. Spiritual Babies, you chase after him like the little hairy leprechaun that you are, and you leap upon him and beat him up, and you're victorious, and you retrieve my wallet. And you go, that's great, that's mine now. And then you go up to the nearest priest and say, hey, you want some of this? He'll give you 10%.
Right.
And I'm there bloodied on the floor going, what are you doing? Can I have my wallet back?
Yep, that makes perfect sense. That's
it.
That's what I do.
But I don't understand because, you know, it's not his stuff. I don't understand why Abram would – I mean, I understand why he goes after them because, you know, they've taken his nephew. So, I mean, it is the heroic thing to do. And he's victorious over these people, and he's got all this stuff back, including people that they've stolen, and he brings them all back. But he gives a tenth of it, which doesn't belong to him, to Melchizedek. Now, he may have done that. He may have. There may be some kind of something that we're missing, and somehow that was perfectly acceptable for him to do that. Now, there's a couple of scenarios that goes through my mind. Perhaps there was, on their way through, these kings also plundered Salem.
Right.
Maybe they also, because, I mean, it says that Abram comes back with the women as well, and, you know, the people and whatnot. We're not told that until he comes back with them. Maybe there's also other details that we're not told. Maybe he also, these kings also plundered Salem and took a whole lot of stuff, and Abram has given that back to him, and Melchizedek has given him a tenth of all of that. Maybe that, but that's a bit of a stretch, I think. That's a lot of detail to assume into the, to read into the text. So I don't know. Also, the other way I see it is perhaps if Melchizedek gave Abram a tenth of all, what a tenth of what? I mean, again, it's not Melchizedek's to give, unless all we know that Melchizedek has, he's come out with food and wine, right?
Right.
We're going to have a party. Melchizedek's going, here's the man, and I've got the king of Sodom here, and have a little G8 summit or whatever it is, and he's brought out the food and wine, and I don't know, maybe he's...
Yeah, I mean, you've got Abraham's there with 318 hungry guys that have just chased up and down the land. Yeah. And maybe he wants to give him some sustenance and some food and some celebration and some rest.
Yeah. Hmm. And so he's given him, you know, a little extra as thanks for all your effort.
Yeah.
But the thing that adds to the confusion, it really is verse 22, verse 21 rather. The king of Sodom, do you want to read this from 21 to 22?
Then the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the possessions for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I swear to the Lord, God Most High, creator of the heavens and the earth, I will not take so much as a thread or a sandal strap of what is yours. You will not say, it is I who made Abram rich. For me, nothing but what my servants have used up. As for their share of the men who went with me, Anir, Ashkol, and Mamre, let them take their share.
It's interesting.
Yeah, he repeats the same blessing as Melchizedek gives to him. In the formation of how he approaches the name of God, God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth. It's a complete copy.
It is, isn't it? And he does copy it because and again, I'm indebted to Nehemiah for pointing this out, that Melchizedek says, blessed be Abram of El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be El Elyon, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Of course, El Elyon was the title of the God that Melchizedek worships, but it's Abraham who qualifies who El Elyon is, the God Most High, who he is. And he says, I have raised my hand to Yehovah El Elyon, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing. And so he's actually made a vow. I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and so on and so forth, lest you say I've made Abraham rich.
Is it possible that Melchizedek, as a not only a king, but as a priest, had some kind of judicial power over some of the other kings in the area, and kind of said, you know, by rights you're entitled to a ten of everything you brought back.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. But why didn't Abram protest at that, like the way that he has protested at receiving goods from the king of Sodom?
Right.
Don't know.
Well, it could be done. You know, the food and drink thing makes a lot of sense to me, especially when we have Avram at the end saying, I'm not going to take anything except for the food and the drink, you know, and replacing the people that have lost.
But let me just entertain this as well. Let's say in the wallet scenario, I'm inclined, if you go and get my, you are victorious over the guy who beat me up, you retrieve my wallet, you bring it back to me, and I've had this happen. I remember as a kid finding somebody's wallet, going home, ringing them up, they came and collected it from my house, they opened up their wallet, and they gave me a portion of what was inside and said, thank you very much, here's your reward. It was really nice, and I've heard of people doing that, and that just seems to be the done thing. So maybe that's what's going on with Melchizedek. As I said, perhaps if Salem was also plundered, then Melchizedek's giving him a tenth of what was returned to him. But it's just odd because Abram protests at receiving anything from the king of Sodom. So it's a little bit of a conundrum, and there's one for the listeners to dwell on and to nut out. But in any case, regardless of all that speculation that we just did, there's no doubt that it reads as if Melchizedek gave Abram a tenth of all. And I'll read it one more time. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He, Melchizedek, was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Melchizedek, gave him a tithe of all.
Okay. It's worth mentioning at this point maybe that if you see a word in your Bible that has brackets around it, it's not in the original text. So I wonder, you know, if we were reading this passage and the name, I mean, I'm looking at my versions in front of me now and I see Avram in square brackets in all my pages. If it wasn't there, would my brain automatically jump to that conclusion that we're not talking about Melchizedek?
That's the question. Right. That's exactly the point, because if we were not already suggested to, and we read this passage, when we get to the end of verse 20, and he gave him a tithe of all, I think it is very, very fair that the reader would come to the conclusion that Melchizedek gave him a tithe of all. All of what? We don't know. Like I say, potentially something that Abraham returned to him, or potentially the food and wine, the bread and wine that Melchizedek brought out. We don't know. Bit of a mystery. So we would love to hear comments from the listeners in regards to this one.
Absolutely, yeah. Give us some feedback.
Yeah, some feedback. There we go. I think we're done. Are we done?
We're done.
Thank you, Mr. Spiritual Babies!
Thank you.
You like the enthusiasm?
I do. I don't hear that every day, I tell you.
There it is. What's the website, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
Spiritualbabies.net.
Jason Spiritual Babies on Facebook, and spiritualbabies.net is the website. Thank you for listening. Again, dear listeners, and until next time, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.